Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible, your Bible app with you, I invite you to join me now in John chapter 14. We are in John 14, looking at verses 15 through 31, as we continue our series through the Gospel of John, with a focus on the life and ministry of Jesus. Today, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the relationship between love and obedience, and Jesus' promise of peace. I'll begin reading now in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for our opportunity to be gathered together as your church today. We thank you for your presence here with us. We acknowledge your Holy Spirit in this space, even as we study today the beauty of the gift of the Spirit himself. In these next few minutes, as we gaze into this text, I pray that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start with the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been at work since the very beginning, but now there is a new promise of his presence in a brand new way. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Notice in that single statement that the entire Trinity is involved. The Spirit is the gift that is given, God the Son is the one who does the asking, and God the Father is the one who does the giving. The gift is called an advocate. The word is parakletos in Greek, and it means come alongside or assist. It can also mean comforter, helper, counselor, encourager. This is an incredible gift. And Jesus doesn't just call the Spirit an advocate, but also another advocate, meaning one of the same kind, one just like Jesus, who's been their advocate all along. That's why Jesus says, "You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." Essentially, this is Jesus inside each of us. Now, I think sometimes when we look at the Gospels, we think to ourselves, if only we had lived in Jesus' day, if only we were one of the disciples in the presence of Jesus, it'd be so much easier to walk with Jesus, so much easier to follow after him. But there are two problems with that idea. The first is, if you've spent any time reading the Gospels, you can see that the disciples had plenty of trouble following Jesus, even with Jesus right among them all the time. So that's the first issue. But the second issue is that Jesus himself said it is easier now for us because we have the Spirit residing within us. So how is it easier now? What is it that the Spirit can do in and through us to help us? I think there are four ideas that are presented to us in this text. First of all, the Spirit can help you. The Spirit can help you. Secondly, the Spirit will be with you forever. Thirdly, the Spirit will teach you all things. And fourth, the Spirit will remind you of all things. Those last two are actually connected, and they're connected in a beautiful way. The word "and" means by means of. And so we're told that the Spirit will teach us all things by means of reminding us of all things. What that means is we're not on our own in this life trying to follow after Jesus. We study the Scriptures, we listen to sermons, we participate in classes, and all of these things that we learn about our God, they reside within us to be activated by the Holy Spirit when we need them most. The Spirit brings to mind the teachings of Christ, brings to mind reminders to us of who Jesus is and what he would have us do in the moment. There's something really beautiful about this Spirit active inside each of our lives. Next, let's talk a little bit about love and obedience. There are some who struggle with what Jesus teaches here. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And that sounds awfully conditional to us. But the key is in digging a little bit deeper into the phrase. The word "een" is the word "if" in Greek, but it can also mean when. Not just if in a conditional sense, but when. So Jesus says, keep my commands, and actually what he's saying is, you will keep my commands. It's a simple future tense of the word there. He's not conditionalizing his love, but instead saying, because we love him, obeying his commands will come naturally to us. Even if we look down at verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It's an assumption here of normative behavior for people who are Christians. And Jesus talks about my teaching here in a singular sense, and that's because it's a reference to the way of life that Jesus has been revealing to the world. He's telling us in a common sense fashion that when we love him, when we follow him, it comes naturally to us to obey the things he's asked of us. We may have to work to drop our legalistic baggage on this one because this is not a conditional relationship. Jesus' inclusive, grace-filled invitation welcomes us into the secure status of his redeemed children. And we obey from within the secure confines of our sure salvation. Jesus' ways simply become our way of life. One commentator says this, if we do not understand Jesus' commands as gracious invitations, we'll miss the heart of the entire gospel. Verse 24 reminds us that obedience is a litmus test of our faith in Jesus, but not of perfection, instead of intention and action. And look at the promise that Jesus offers. He says, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Verse 3 of this chapter talked about that future dwelling with Jesus. But as Jesus says this here, he's talking about dwelling within us now, in the present tense, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, Jesus promises peace. He finishes this section of teaching by attending once more to the troubled hearts of his followers. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Words that come from the God who cares. And they aren't just words because they come with the gift of peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. That word is eirene in Greek, and it means wholeness, completeness, health, and security. Soak in that just for a moment. Sometimes when we say the word peace, all we're talking about is a moment of respite from the craziness of life, a moment of silence, a moment of calm, and peace certainly is that. But when we look at this definition here, we can see that this is a deep peace, empowered by God. That's only possible with God giving that peace to us as a gift. It's the same peace that Hebrews referred to as shalom. Shalom was the hello and goodbye of the Jewish culture. In essence, may things be well with you in every way. And our New Testament concept comes from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where we're told that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is the gift that Jesus gives us. And once again, all of this is in the present tense. Jesus says, my peace I am leaving with you. My peace I am giving you. This ongoing peace belongs to you and belongs to me because it is empowered by Jesus. What does Jesus mean when he says that he does not give us peace as the world gives? Well, he means it's not temporary. It's not circumstantial. It wasn't the Pax Romana, that Roman peace that was secured and maintained by the sword. Instead, it's this beautiful gift of peace from the living God that resides within us. We don't want to do this Christian faith without the power of the Holy Spirit, without our knowledge of the Spirit and the way the Spirit works within us. I lived a lot of years as a believer in Christ, afraid of the Holy Spirit, not quite sure what the Spirit was all about, just trying to focus on Father and Son instead. And yet, when I finally learned about this beautiful gift of the Spirit, it opened up an aspect and a power to my faith that I had never knew existed before. Today, we want to hear the words of Jesus, and we want to open ourselves once again, even as we sang at the beginning of our service, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the peace of the Holy Spirit, because it is the life that we were made for. And this is what our salvation looks like as we live it out in each new day. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful as your people for the gift of your presence in this world. While we might imagine at times it was easier to follow you back when you were here on earth, you yourself tell us that the gift of your Holy Spirit residing within us empowers us in brand new ways to walk with you every single day. Help us not to fear the Holy Spirit, but instead to treasure this gift that you've given each of us. Calm our hearts with the gift of that peace. Empower our conviction by the presence of your Spirit within us, that we might follow after you as the natural expression of our love in this world. I pray all of these things in your name. Amen.